Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more. We now invite you to listen to a panel discussion on effective emergency response procedures, ERP, and private sector resilience strategies from the recent Disaster Recovery and Resilience Business Forum hosted by BCCI and CNW Business, which focused on key lessons for small island developing states based on experiences from Hurricane Beryl and other disasters. The panelists for this session are Laura Diaz, Associate Manager, B2B, CNW Business, Renee Springer, Senior Manager, Supply Chain, Southern Cluster, CNW Business, Donnell Belgrave-Young, Assistant Manager of Insurance Operations, Sagicor General, Johan Graves, Director, Operations, Barbados Light and Power, Rogerio Silva, the Deputy Head of our Regional Office for Latin America and the Caribbean. The moderator is Patrick Hingson, General Manager of Barbados and Eastern Caribbean, Sagicor General Insurance. Let's Talk Business is brought to you by Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited.
We've spoken a lot of natural disasters, and this question is for Laura. On the CNW business side, I mean, one of the disasters that we fear in this side of the region is really cybersecurity attacks. And I just wanted to know if you can speak a bit in terms of how you guys help businesses to manage that risk, because it is a big risk. I think when we think of electric cars and autonomous driving vehicles and all the things that cyber attacks, the fact that you can't get your money out of the bank. And I do have someone here who asked a question about banking earlier, so we'll come back to that. You know, how do you see that, and how do you see companies preparing to try to mitigate, you know, the risk of cyber attacks?
Well, this is one of the things that always come up to my mind, is that, of course, in terms of natural disaster, we cannot control anything. But sadly, at this moment, what humanity can do to make disaster is bigger. So we are always at risk that something happen. There is always people working to make damage to everyone. And sadly, according with some of my colleagues, Caribbean markets are some or one of the most target market to be attacked through cyber attacks. So for this reason, we always try to maintain a communication with our customers and start looking what they need to have in advance in a case they have a cyber attack. What a cyber attack is looking for? Your information. It's basically what they are looking for, and you know that in our information, they can have everything about us. Our bank account, our health information, our government information, and they can keep it and use to make even more damage than another type of disaster can do it. So we normally suggest to prevent this in two different ways. One, it's gonna be, of course, have something that can block the attack. So this is in terms of cybersecurity, what you are gonna put in your system, how you are gonna train your employees to don't click in the wrong link. So this is super important that we always talk with our customers and even internally, that we have to keep an eye in what we are receiving in our emails, because if you think it, this is gonna be the easiest way that a company can get the information blocked. So this is one of the things that we always talking about. You have to keep your cybersecurity on point. You have to check the different ways where the cyber attack can come in. So one of the points is always gonna be around cybersecurity. So we are always in the risk to have a cyber attack. What we do is that in complementing all the cybersecurity things that you can have in your network, in your system, in your email, we also said that you have to guarantee your backups. What you are gonna do if you have already a disaster, if you already have an attack in your system, if you don't have any backups, you are not gonna have to do anything. So you have to be very clear in how you are gonna act, what you are going to do, and if you have a cyber attack, that you have a second plan to recover for that cyber attack. So normally, the people that it's working to do a cyber attack is always thinking that they are going to steal your information. But if you have a backup, if you know how are your backup policies, you are going to have something to do after you receive the attack. So if you have something to do, there is not going to be an importance that you have an attack because you can recover fast. This is one of the points that it's very important when you are talking about business continuity, is that you have clear how it's going to be your path and what it's going to be the next step if you have any type of cyber attack that you can do it. So this is going to be the two main things that we always talk about with our customer. Of course, communication in who it's going to be involved. If, for example, you have a ransomware, some of your employees click in a link that they just received from an email, who it's going to be, the people that it's going to be involved. So we normally see that it's going to be important that you have clear who is the legal person that you have to contact with to see if you have to act in a legal way. Also start talking with the human resources to start talking with the employees and say you don't have to click and start clearing how it's going to be all the politics that you have to comply. The other thing is, of course, have clear all the IT people that it's going to be involved, what they are going to do, how they are going to do the things. And finally, but not least, it's always important that executive level knows how to act in that kind of process. Because it could be a big disaster, but also could be a small event. So you are not going to have to act in the same way in all the situations. So we normally, what we do internally and with our customer is that we are giving information, we are doing suggestions in how they have to act, and of course providing everything that they needed in the different level, from security, from infrastructure, from even connectivity, and of course including the backups so you can recover and fast and guarantee that your business is up and running no matter what is happening in the world if you are under a cyber attack.
Okay, thanks for that, Laura. I'm going to open the floor for any questions. If anyone have a question for the panelists. We have one question coming up. So for clarity, you're asking persons who provide services to them or are they providing services to you? Okay.
Thanks for the question. What we do is a lot of active stakeholder engagement. Before the BCP is finalized, we are including those same service providers, like our brokers, our logistics persons. They are actively a part of the BCP. So it's before it's finalized, what inputs that they have, and even certainly their BCPs, those are included in our activities. So it's the same story we've been echoing all morning. It's really about communication and inclusiveness, because yes, we are on the surface of it. We are competitors in some form or fashion and whatnot. But at the core of it, we are Barbadians. And we definitely want to see that our communities are still well serviced and that we are still able to provide as much as possible communications to our services, to our customers. I'll say that, you know, previously, connectivity was not on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but if you have a teenager, or certainly a young one, it is definitely up there. And whether or not the power is on, if the data is down, you have a problem, and they don't understand that. So definitely we've had to really look at the priority for our customers and ensure that our service providers are also looking at those changes of needs and, you know, the cultural changes in our community and being able to support that as well. We heard mention of having equipment in place but not having the persons in place. We have contingency plans. There's a plan A, B, and sometimes C for who we can reach out to, how we are to reach out to them, even to the point of we are not able to reach you on the telephone, but we know exactly where to find you. That kind of support. So yes, everybody is on board and ready to act because we have robust business continuity plans in place.
Thanks, Renee. Johan?
Yeah, similarly, I think we will focus on the stakeholder engagement as part of the planning phase. So the critical vendors, that sort of thing, we have specific relationships with. In some cases, we actually do MOUs with them and put them in place. Even with our shippers and that sort of thing, we have priority arrangements with them to be able to get critical assets into the country as quickly as possible. More closer to the time, we would normally reach out just prior to event or that sort of thing and check on the well-being of that company and their employees and find out whether they will be in a position to be able to service us. All the plans are not built on one sub-supplier. We use multiple sub-suppliers because, as I said, one sub-supplier may not be available and we have to go elsewhere. We also focus on the regional resources as well. So as a utility organization, we are part of the CareElect, the regional electricity organization. So leading up to the event and that sort of thing, we keep in contact with them and we would normally feed information to them in terms of what resources we will need. So even if it's not available locally, we will seek to bring them in from regionally or even further afield as necessary.
Thanks, Johan. We have another question.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions for you quickly.
What are they directed to?
Sorry?
They're directed to the panel or someone in
the panel? Yes.
Okay.
What are companies doing as it pertains to risk in relocating critical services away from our coastline and offshore, as we are susceptible to not only hurricanes but also tsunamis and the effects of earthquakes, etc.?
You want to take that? You're closest to the
CWR. I'll take a stab at that quickly. So it's a real issue for us in the utility. Our main generation site is located right on the coast. A number of years ago, though, we would have taken decision in terms of relocating a number of our future assets away from the coastline. So we've moved our installations more further inland now. Above certain elevations to be able to be outside of the flood risk from any tsunami that potentially may hit the island. At our Spring Garden compound too, what we would have done is that critical equipment in our newer station there is all elevated at least one story up in the air. So the ground floor has basically no critical assets. All the critical assets starts from the first floor and going up. So that's what some of the things that we would do there from that point of view. But the main thing is, going forward, we have taken the decision not to locate any assets in the flood-prone areas. And also, when we design those facilities, we design them for hurricane rating, flood rating, earthquake resistance, those sort of things as well.
Second question is more of an insurance-type question. Given the challenges that this specific region faces as it pertains to natural disasters due to climate change, how are insurance and reinsurance companies viewing the type of coverage offered to companies in this region?
So, I would answer that question. I guess in some regard, I'm a little bit closer to the reinsurance side of it. I mean, as I've said in a number of sessions, there are only about 50 reinsurers in the world that you want to deal with. Yeah. And those reinsurers, I mean, we talk about A-rated reinsurers, right? So so our choice as a company and pretty much in this region is that we deal with A-rated reinsurers. So Munich Re, Hannover Re, RMV, Swiss Re, and the list goes on. The challenge we face is that those reinsurers pretty much reinsure every other insurance company in the world as well. So when it comes to this region, it comes down to supply and demand, capacity, and costs. So we're in the Southern Caribbean, and I have other members from the insurance community here, so they will keep me honest. So while in the Southern Caribbean, our reinsurance rates might have gone up 10 to 20%. In the Northern Caribbean, it went up 40, 50%. So if you know anyone that lives in Jamaica or Bermuda, their house insurance premiums doubled in 23 and went up again in 2024. And it is really that supply and demand. The challenge as well, too, from the reinsurance point of view, and is the level of loss they see in very benign events, in their view. So in the case of Barbados with Beryl, Beryl was, as far as they're concerned, less than a Category 1 that hit us. And the level of damage, of insurable damage, so let me speak of, there's damage and there's insurable damage. So the level of insurable damage that they have seen from just that event will start to raise concerns about the building codes, another thing, because if it was a Category 3, they would not try to fathom the level of damage that we would have seen in this market. So there's those parameters and views that the reinsurance have on the market. David spoke about building codes. You mentioned things like building next to the coastline. I think if we go back to 2022, there was one insurable event in the world that triggered the rising reinsurance costs, I would say, and that was Hurricane Ian. Hurricane Ian caused insurable losses of $70 billion, total losses of $130 billion. And that was half of the world's insurable and uninsured losses. And anybody know where Fort Myers is? Fort Myers is a little city in Florida with about 300,000-400,000 persons. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine that one little city triggered pretty much what the world saw and what we saw from the increases in insurance premiums. So it's a challenge that we have in the region. I mean, we negotiate, we discuss, we have meetings. In this part of the region, we figure we are somewhat out of the hurricane belt. But then Beryl came and immediately put us back on the radar, because you can't say no, oh, the hurricane's going north of Barbados, because the first hurricane for the Caribbean, for this region, went south. So it is a challenge that we will have going forward. We will try to manage relationships. Where rates will go, I cannot predict that. What we know is obviously important for us as a region, for us to be sustainable, we need the reinsurance backing. David mentioned in terms of the coverage and capacity that we have in the region, we only take about 10% of the risk, because the other 80-90% of it we all cede and reinsure, because a single company in the region cannot take the level of risk that they carry. And the unfortunate thing is that is the reality for us in the region.
Thank you.
Okay. You have one more question, I see. Is this my money question?
Yes. Hi, greetings everybody. My name is Hurtado Mitchell. I am General Manager Operations at Guardsman. So basically, I represent the private security sector, that industry. And I have a broad question, and it's for the panel. But mainly, I believe that our operations director at Light and Power should jump in on this as well as our flow manager here. So here goes. Where is the security industry in the scope of the BCP planning on both sides, right? And the reason why I'm asking this question is this, because we kind of like to understand what does the BCP look like, partial devastation in the event there is some form of a direct hit. And why I'm going there, so, is because in the event that there is a hit whereby you find that there is a major effect or impact on the telecommunications, cash now becomes king. I know that we want to move digitally, but cash becomes king. And what happens when persons are unable to get cash? In your BCP, what are the industries or the sectors that gets prioritized? We do know, yes, the seaport. We do know, yes, the airport. But what about the financial sector? You know, how does that fall into the entire BCP to ensure that persons have cash to buy? Because, you know, for example, Recently with Beryl, you had persons who were going to the ATMs and withdrawing their maximum just to brace themselves. So let me stop there and throw those questions out.
Not sure who want to take that one.
Well, I'm about to divert it a little bit because each functional area within CNW will have their own BCP. So as I sit in the space of supply chain, I don't think I'm in the best position to be able to answer. But from what I have seen of the BCPs, because we effectively test them holistically, like every functional area is testing while we're testing. Is that rigorous of a test? I do know that there are specific actions that are taken that speak to security from our facilities team. And there are actions that are taken from a customer experience standpoint when it comes to, you know, being able to support those businesses who will be impacted by the sudden rush, as you mentioned, of persons needing to have funds or what's not. So sitting in my supply chain space, I'm sorry, I can't answer that question directly, but I'm sure I can get the answer and get it back for you.
Okay, so from my point of view, in terms of security, security is normally part of our BCP planning process. We would normally work with our security firms to be able to provide the level of security that we would need during and after an event. Usually, after an event, security becomes very important. We've seen instances in other territories in the region when there's mass destruction, fuel, any sort of material that can be used to create some form of temporary housing, that sort of thing, has been, is in demand. And we have seen utilities be the target for some looting. So usually, as part of our process, we work very closely with our security providers. We would normally have backup security providers on standby as well. And in event it were to escalate to that point, we normally have a relationship with the police service and the defense force to protect those assets, which are critical assets. I think from a secure point of view, from the national point of view, because we are involved in some of the bigger discussions, the specific security arrangements that we put in place for places that will be stored, like fuel, the food that be needed for the island, that sort of thing. So security, while we may not have spoken a lot about it, that is one of the big areas that is taken into account when the planning is done, I dare say at a national level. In terms of the response in terms of the prioritizing persons coming back on and the businesses and that sort of thing, the utility, we normally keep a list. The list probably carries over 100 plus companies or categories, it's just dare say, in terms of the priority of persons that we need to try to get back on, because the focus in those first few days is being able to get the country and the economy back and running so that the necessary relief can be provided to the citizens and that material can come in and out of the country. So there is a list that we normally go through. We would normally speak with different persons in the various business communities, also with government in terms of determining how the priority is done. Also, every event is different. So from time to time, you will get persons calling saying, well, I have a problem with my standby generator, this sort of thing. And then we have to try to navigate to see how best we can support one another, because after all, we all in it together.
I know your questions circle around cash, and I think, you know, what you raise is also something that needs to come into the planning for individuals. That when the hurricane season starts, should you have a little cash set aside? Because there's no guarantee you can get to the ATMs. So I think from that perspective, I think that's something that Maybe there's a different discussion that needs to be had around, you know, how do we deal with that cash component? How are businesses able to operate in a cash environment again after an event? How they secure that cash after they collect it? And then what do the homeowners need to do in the event? Do they wait until the hurricane is on our doorstep to go to the ATM? And then the ATMs don't have money the day after, or you know. So I think there's some things around that we can, you know, we can have a discussion on.
Definitely. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Okay, we have one more question.
Yeah, not quite a question. In response to the question before, I know for sure the financial institutions are meeting, the credit unions and the banks, to go over how we handle such situations. I can also say for sure that our BCP plan, Barbados Public Workers, we involve security, we involve cash vault to ensure that cash is available. So we're talking some things in the realm of, okay, if one institution goes down, then can we switch over and share the cash or resources with one of the other institutions? So I know for sure those talks are going on right now, and also there's some involvement in our BCP for sure. So
okay, I think thanks for that. Because I think that is important. That I think many businesses and I've seen in organizations have been that when you activate the BCP plan, part of it is to get a stockpile of cash in the event that you need to buy things and you can only pay for it in cash. And then I think when the question was raised to me at the break, okay, you have the cash. You have it in the office, but then who has the combination to the safe to get it? And then how do you get it? So it comes back down to, I think, the same comment that we spoke of today, the communication, who are the team members that are involved in it, and making sure that all of them are on board when those plans are activated. We have another question from the audience. Go ahead, Rich.
No, I can mention on cash solution on our perspective. And if it's better in the next session, it's about innovation, by the way. We are studying some blockchain. Are you familiar with blockchain? So if you are familiar with this new technology, because cash in this environment creates a lot of attention for the families who receive and those who are going with a big amount of cash to distribute, we are now investigating a card with blockchain inside that, in high-risk communities. So it's code in a way that with certain business area that is required, that cash is, of course, there is a pre-registration process of the families in high-risk areas, but at least we are reducing the cash flow in these situations, and we are proposing innovation technology using blockchain in a way that you don't even connectivity or power, and the persons on that community can really start flowing the business, small business. So it's good to combine high risk population, small business, technology companies and banks, because it's all the whole environmental. It's good for these high risk areas, and I think in the Caribbean could be a solution in future. Still being pilot, not only in this region, we try in Venezuela, there are others in Asia, so it's a good way to investigate for those who have coding system, blockchain, banking, financial institutions, insurance, maybe, all those elements.
Okay, great, thanks for that. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you, and I want to thank the panelists. So give them a round of applause, please.
That was a panel discussion on Effective Emergency Response Procedures, ERP, and Private Sector Resilience Strategies from the recent Disaster Recovery and Resilience Business Forum hosted by BCCI and CNW Business, which focused on key lessons for small island developing states based on experiences from Hurricane Beryl and other disasters. Let's Talk Business is brought to you by Barbados Public Workers Cooperative Credit Union Limited. That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.